couple more minutes with Thomas Cahill, whose Mysteries of the Middle Ages does in fact bring us to the modern world. Much of the setting in which you go through these Mysteries of the Middle Ages, bringing us, pointing us toward this moment and into the future, is very much set within the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, not to be confused. And you tell the truth all the way through here. I mean, there's a real Enlightenment sense that you've got to be acknowledging that there are harsh truths that have to be faced if we are to realize the promise that Aristotle has, the promise of the Christian Church starting with Jesus, and this Catholic Church becomes a problem.
Well, at the end of the book, I talk about the pedophilia scandals in the United States and the current constitution of the Catholic Church, which I think is at base what's wrong with how all this stuff got started.
And the pedophilia goes well beyond the United States.
Yeah, very much so.
At least Jason Berry says so.
Sure it does. And a lot of it is yet to be discovered in places where there's much more secrecy than there is in the United States. I mean, we do have at this point a sort of Oprah culture where everyone is willing mm-hmm. to come on television and say what happened to them. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of parts in the world where nobody would think of doing something like that. So a lot of this stuff is still covered up. And I say the way out of this is to return to the primitive church, where all bishops and clergy were voted into office by the people who considered themselves responsible. They were the church.
And there was no priestly class. This is the church of the apostles.
Right, and soon, and after that. It goes on, you know, it probably goes on into, it goes on into the very early medieval period. You know, somebody like Ambrose of Milan was elected by the people. He was only a catechumen. He hadn't even been baptized, and the people of Milan decided he would make the best bishop, and they shouted, "Ambrose Bishop," and he became the bishop, and that was the end of that one.
Well, it's part of this story that you're telling over time, that there are things to be captured that have beauty in them, and to eschew those things that are really ugly.
Yeah. Well, what we have is a bunch of bishops who are basically politicians and who are afraid for their lives that they might do the wrong thing. They're not really bishops in any historical sense, and we would be better off if they just would all retire and we could start over again.
A lot of this...
Because they're the ones who have done the cover-up, which is even worse than the pedophilia to begin with.
Those are the betrayers.
Yeah.
Well, it goes to the truthfulness. It also goes to the abuse of power, mm-hmm. and it's as much as anything. It shows up obviously in the current circumstance, but that is part of what these people, in many cases, are reacting against something. You know, they have the courage to see the world a little bit differently. I'm talking about the people you write about. They have the courage. And the imagination, to see the world differently from everyone around them. And then they have the integrity to carry that forward in their lives, in their work, whether it's poetry or painting or as a monk or as a writer or whatever. And it seems to me those two attributes are right at the core of what makes this kind of progress possible.
Yeah. Also, virtually every one of them is a layperson. There's only one really outstanding bishop that I name in the entire book. I think we should keep in mind that the glories of the Catholic Middle Ages were the work of people like Giotto and Dante, and not of the bishops of the Middle Ages any more than they could be today.
Would that be Augustine of Hippo? Is that the bishop of whom you speak? Is that the only one you mention?
No. I wasn't thinking of him. I was thinking of Gregory the Great, who is a great figure, and worthy of the word great.
Indeed, we'll wait to see what the Mysteries of the Middle Ages reveal when next we come to the Renaissance. We'll welcome you back when that time comes. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Paula.
Thomas Cahill's Mysteries of the Middle Ages fills in many gaps in our understanding of who we are and how we came to be this way. Again, we thank Mr. Cahill for nurturing the fruits of his own labors into a book and for sharing his discoveries with us. I'm Paula Gordon.
I wish you well.